We're still in the last part of Genesis, Genesis 48. Jacob's death is a long, drawn-out affair, and maybe in a few weeks' time we will come to the end. And in this chapter, he is blessing his two grandsons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And last Sunday morning, we looked at the way he crossed his hands, and instead of blessing the eldest before the youngest, he did it the other way around. And that's an illustration of God's way with us. It's all of grace. The first shall be last, and the last first. Now, this morning, we are going to look at the words of the blessing. So verses 15 and 16 of Genesis 48. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, let my name be named upon them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now Jacob blesses the two grandsons through Joseph, but the blessing is still going to Ephraim and Manasseh. And there is something very moving about this account, because here we have an aged saint on his deathbed, and what he's doing is recounting God's dealings with him. At the start of the chapter, as we noted a few weeks ago, he looks at Bethel, where God first appeared to him and had mercy on him, and ever since that day, he has been led of the Lord. So what he's doing, in effect, is raising an Ebenezer, and he's saying to Joseph and his grandsons, hitherto the Lord has helped me. And I'm sure there are a number of us here this morning, even if we haven't quite got to our deathbeds, we are able to join Jacob in the same thing. Fanny Crosby wrote another hymn, her most famous one, where she says, this is my story. This is my song. Jacob had a story. How many of us have a story to tell of God's dealings with us? Now, let's look at this blessing, especially the first part of it. Look at the threefold invocation. God, before whom my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, walked. That's the first. Then the God who has fed me all my life long, second. And then the angel. This is the angel of the Lord. So God, a third time. Isn't that interesting? Three times God is mentioned. When we receive people into membership in our church, I read the Aaronic blessing. And that's got a threefold invocation of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So Jacob is blessing his grandsons with a threefold invocation. And I'm praying that every one of us here this morning will know a blessing in coming to church. Isn't this why we're gathered here? So that God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may lay his hand upon us and truly bless us. Now, I'm glad to see you all here, and I'm sure we are happy to see one another. But oh, to have a sight of the Saviour, that is what we are about. Fanny Crosby was blind. Jacob, by this point, was blind. But they saw the God of their fathers, and the God of their fathers had become their God, and they were able to speak to the next generation and the next generation, and pray that they would be blessed with the same God. Our God, my friends, is a God who delights to bless generation after generation. And this is what we want to look at here this morning. Now, the first thing we need to make note of is this. Jacob says, "This God of my fathers, whom I've come to know, he has fed me." That's the first thing I want to say. Now, a better translation there, and some of your translations may have this word, "he has shepherded me." In other words, he's referring to God as his shepherd. This is the first place in the Bible where God is referred to as the shepherd of his people. Now, I'm going to give you some other references to that. In chapter 49 of Genesis, verse 24, we have Jacob saying there, in brackets, right at the end of verse 24, "From there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel." Shepherd with a capital S, God. And then, of course, you don't need to turn to Psalm 23. David, "The Lord is my shepherd." But it's not just in Psalm 23. You've got Psalm 80. I think the hymn we just sang was based on that psalm. How does that psalm begin? Well, listen to this. Verse 1 of Psalm 80. "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh." Isn't that lovely? The God of Jacob, who shepherded him, also was Joseph's shepherd, and he became the shepherd of Ephraim and Manasseh. And then in a few weeks' time, some of us will be starting to listen to Handel's Messiah again. And in Handel's Messiah, you have Isaiah chapter 40 set to song. And do you know what it says in Isaiah 40? Some lovely, lovely verses. Verse 11, "He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." Do you feel weak this morning? I've got a God who delights to come to the weak and to raise them up and to carry them when they can't walk by themselves. And when you come to the New Testament, well, Jesus Christ, in our reading, he referred to himself as the Good Shepherd. And let me just highlight a few things from John 10. The Good Shepherd who gave his life, laid down it for the sheep. The Good Shepherd who speaks to his sheep, and he knows each one of them by name. I find that amazing, that the God who sits at the right hand of the Father, Jesus has all authority in heaven and earth given to him. He knows each one of his sheep by name. I'm trying to get to know all of you. That's why I stand outside there. As you come in, I'm trying to work out the name of everybody, and I haven't quite got there. We had a head teacher when I was a school teacher, and there were about 60 or 70 staff. Not that many. And he referred to us by number, not by name. I was number 59. We have a head who presides over a multitude, and he knows each one by name. So the shepherd. Now Jacob, we know Jacob so well by now. He wasn't the sort of person you would have thought would have turned to the Lord. Jacob tried to shepherd himself. In Welsh, we have a phrase, if you've got sheep that are black, we call them Defaid Jacob, Jacob sheep. I don't know if you have that in English. And Jacob was that. He was the black sheep of the family. Esau was the one who was noble. And you'd have thought that Esau would have followed after the Lord. But God chose a Jacob. And God came after the lost sheep, Jacob. And in another place, I think in Luke's gospel, Jesus uses that as a parable. The parable of the lost sheep. That's the kind of shepherd our Savior is. If you feel yourself to be lost and to have gone so far away, maybe you are in church this morning, but in your heart you've left the Lord. Or maybe you have loved ones and they've gone far, far away from the fold. But listen, Jesus Christ can go after them, and he delights to go after lost sheep. And he found Jacob when he was running away. And what did he do? He came to him as he slept, and he showed him the way to heaven, that ladder. That's where I begin this morning. That's the place we all begin when we first meet the Good Shepherd. We realize that there's a chasm, there is this awful strait that can't be crossed. And here am I, sinful, lost me on earth, and there is holy God in heaven. And I want to be saved from sin and from eternal destruction. And I want to go to heaven. And I can't cross that chasm myself. My good works are not long enough to reach across. My religious deeds are not long enough to get across. But this is the good news. There's a ladder. There's a bridge. And that is Jesus Christ. He hasn't just provided the way. He is the way. Let me give you this true story. I think from the 19th century in Scotland, there was a shepherd boy. And this shepherd boy was out looking after his sheep. And he saw that the railway track, there was a bridge that had been broken by a storm. And he could see a train coming. And so this shepherd boy was concerned for the people on the train. So he got onto the railway tracks. And he signaled to the driver to stop. But the driver didn't take notice. I don't think the driver could stop. And in the end, that boy stayed where he was on the tracks, knowing that he was going to be killed in order to save those people from death. And that's what Jesus Christ did. He laid down his life. He, by doing that, opened the way to heaven. That's what Jacob saw in Bethel. That's how our story begins. And then, since that day, the Good Shepherd has led him. What a life! Who would have thought that the tragedies that he experienced, especially his son Joseph being taken captive, he thought he'd been killed, that would lead eventually to him becoming prime minister of Egypt, and Jacob himself being taken to Egypt and dying in Goshen. Now, that's just a brief summary. The shepherd who leads, the shepherd who knows the way that he's going, the shepherd who is constantly feeding us. I often have this hymn before the sermon. Wherever he may guide me, no want shall turn me back. My shepherd is beside me, and nothing can I lack. His wisdom ever waketh, his sight is never dim. He knows the way he taketh, and I will walk with him. Maybe you're new to this city and you don't know what the future holds. It doesn't matter. If you've got Jesus Christ as your shepherd, he knows the way he's going to take you. And that's what counts. This is what we need to do. We need to trust in him. Was it one of the Puritans? He put it so well when he said, we often don't know where we're going, but we know with whom we are going. And that was Jacob's testimony. And he was a work in progress, as all of us are when we trust in Jesus Christ. Our tendency is to lean on our own understanding, to shepherd ourselves. But God often brings us back again and again to him. He uses that shepherd's crook to bring us closer to himself. And what a blessed place it is when we're able to say, I am trusting in you alone. Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I know you are in charge. And I, like a little child, I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in you. He leads beside the still waters. He brings us to green pastures. But even when we walk through the valley of shadow, and the last valley will walk through the shadow of death, he's going to be with you and me then. That hymn goes on to say, green pastures are before me, which yet I have not seen. Adoniram Judson used to say, the future is as bright as the promises of God. Bright skies will soon be o'er me, where the dark clouds have been. My hope I cannot measure. My path to life is free. My Saviour has my treasure, and he will walk with me. Here we are, gathered this morning. We are his flock. Have you met him? Have you heard the voice of the Good Shepherd? And if you have, do you come here wanting to hear him speak again? In Bible college, we had, have I said this before? Forgive me if I have. We had a number of Korean students, and we had to take it in turns to do morning devotions. And this Korean student would sometimes say to me, after I'd done morning devotions, I heard well. And I thought, what did he mean by that? Did he mean that I was good at communicating to Koreans? Did he mean that I was raising my voice? No, he didn't. What he meant was this: I heard him through you. What a lovely testimony. May we hear him. Oh, to hear Jesus. And it often can happen in the sermon, but it doesn't have to happen there. It can sometimes happen in a hymn. I heard of one man many years ago coming to this church. And this man was in a state, but God spoke to him in a hymn. Or it can happen in the middle of the prayer. So this is the first thing. Our God is the God who shepherds us. Is he your shepherd? David didn't say, the Lord is a shepherd. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. Can you say, Jesus Christ is mine, 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 mine. I know thou art mine. And then the second thing, he refers to him as the angel of the Lord. It was the angel that appeared at Bethel. So we've got two metaphors here describing the same person. And throughout his life, it's interesting to see how often the angel of the Lord appeared to Jacob. So he didn't just appear once at Bethel. After Jacob had dwelt with Laban, his uncle, and after things had got very difficult between him and his uncle, the angel of the Lord appeared again to Jacob and told him to leave. And then at that climactic moment in his life, when he was about to face his brother Esau and could face death, the angel appeared to him at Peniel. And after many, many more years, after Joseph had been taken captive and after the famine, the angel appeared to Jacob and told him to go down to Egypt because the Lord was leading him there. But look at the way this angel is described here. It's the angel who has redeemed me from all evil. What does that mean? Well, the word here is kinsman redeemer. What's that about? It means this. It's about a next of kin coming to a family member who's in a mess. In the book of Leviticus, you have a situation where a person has got into such poverty that he's had to sell his land, his possession. And a next of kin comes along and he buys that land. He redeems it, in other words, for his relative. And that's what Jesus Christ is. He's our redeemer. We've lost paradise. We've lost Canaan. And what God has done in Jesus Christ is paid the price in order for that to be restored again to us. Paradise lost, paradise regained. And isn't Jesus Christ our kinsman redeemer? When he came into this world, he wasn't an angel. He was a man. He was one of us. I was in a meeting yesterday and we sang what is one of the best hymns ever written. A man there is, a real man, a kinsman. And he redeemed us by going to the cross, who once on Calvary died. His blood for guilty sinners ran from hands and feet and side. And then the next stanza of that hymn talks about the redemption. This wondrous man of whom we tell is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price, his own heart's blood. Blessed be his name. And in that account in Leviticus, even if that land isn't brought back to that person, in the year of Jubilee, it comes back to them, the year of release. And you know, my friends, these times that we're living in, it's the time of Jubilee. It's the time when the good news is to go forth to all the world, that redemption is to be found in the blood of Jesus Christ, that what we can't do because we're in debt spiritually, he has done, and he's paid that great debt with his own blood. It's the year of Jubilee. Do we see it like that? We've got good news to declare. In student lunch, we've got something to declare. In our youth meetings, we've got something to tell the children. The church has a message. And it's not just, like with the shepherd, it's not just when we believed that he is with us. That's especially true, I know, when we're looking at redemption. I'm sorry for quoting hymns at you this morning, but I just find them so helpful. Oh, perfect redemption. Do you know that hymn? The purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender, a Jacob, who truly believes that moment from Jesus, a pardon receives. Redemption. I know my path to life is free. I know I'm going to paradise. It doesn't matter what this world throws at me. I have this hope. But it's not just when we believe. He's our protector throughout life. I was blessed yesterday in a McGideon's meeting I was at. And we had a lady speak at that meeting. I really was moved by her. She stands on Queen Street most weeks, handing out New Testaments. And that's quite something to do. And she's able to talk to people about the Saviour. And she was sharing with us how nervous she often got. And this is how she comforted herself. She reminded herself that there were angels there beside her. I think she imagined two big, strong angels standing beside her. Oh, he does give his angels charge over us. But better than that is the angel of the Lord, a sovereign protector. Unseen, yet always at hand. You may be starting university and you're nervous, I know. But if you have him with you, you need not be afraid.
Do you know God as your shepherd and as your angel? This is what Jacob is doing. He's giving testimony to that fact. He's delivered me from sin, but he's delivering me all the time. This lady yesterday, she shared about something so simple, but it was very striking, about seeing in the newspaper that morning photos of Puerto Rico and the devastation caused by that hurricane, people not being able to have any water. And then she just said something so simple, and all we have to do is turn on the tap and we have fresh water. And she was saying, we can be so grateful to God for all of his mercies. And it just brought it back to me about one of our missionaries in Haiti, the Jovans, and their catchphrase, God is good. Every time we hear from them, they always end with the words, God is good. It doesn't matter if they've had a hurricane that's destroyed their church. God is still good. That's what he's doing. That's what the lady was doing yesterday. Like Jacob, talking about his deliverances, of his deliverances I will boast, till all who are distressed, from my example, fresh courage take, and charm their griefs to rest. Have you got a story? Not just an old story about the day you came to know him, or he came to you, but have you still got stories, fresh stories, about his deliverances? I'm coming to a close now, but Jacob here is conferring blessings upon his grandsons. What a privilege to have a grandfather who's got such a story to tell. I think it's Spurgeon who says, this is the best family heirloom you can have. Am I pronouncing the word right? It's not heirloom, it's heirloom, is it? I've got a friend, and he's got an heirloom, and it's a clock, and the clock, it doesn't keep time. But because it's a family heirloom, it's precious. You youngsters here, the best family heirloom you've got, a godly grandparents. Ask them about their story. Like Jacob here, sharing God's dealings with him. Ask them about what God has done and how he's still leading. You know, we cannot be grateful enough for that. I hope it's all right for me to share this. When I was a boy, I had a great aunt on Anglesey. And all I can remember, I was very small at the time, but all I can remember, when we went to see her, her name was Auntie Lizzie, Auntie Lizzie. When we went to see her, we always had to say verses. Isn't that strange? This elderly lady wanted us to hear us saying verses from the Bible. And all I can remember was that there was something special about her. Was she saved in the 04-05 revival, which did touch that part of Anglesey? I don't know. But what a blessing to have that great aunt. And what a blessing, you who are grandparents, this is your greatest gift to your grandchildren, to be able to bless them with the story of redemption. And oh, may every one of us, as grandchildren, children, parents, grandparents, may we all come to know the same God, the God of Jacob, the God who is our shepherd, the God who is our deliverer. And may we have our own story to tell, even when we get old, if God wills, to tell the next generation. Hear what the Lord has done for me. How amazing
that he saved a person like me, and that he led me all this way. And you know what? It's not because of anything in me or you. It's all because of his grace. For his name's sake. Amen.